Today is Palm Sunday, and it's the first of our Safe at Home Sundays. It's true that not everybody's been able to be here before this, but now one-third of humanity across the entire globe is told, stay at home unless you're doing something necessary to prolong life. It's a humbling time, but it's also a time of great rejoicing. Where two or three are gathered in my name, our Lord says, I'm there in the midst of them. We have four gathered today, and that's not even counting you. Let us together worship our triumphant King. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you've answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us.
Bind the festal sacrifice with cords, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. The next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to each other, "You see that you're gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's time for the kids' talk. It's almost Easter. Today is Palm Sunday, and on Palm Sunday, we remember that Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and all of the people were waving their palm branches and shouting a word called Hosanna. Hosanna means, "Please save us. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for saving us." And the people cheered and shouted as Jesus came into town because they needed someone to save them. We do too. We need a savior from our sins. We need someone to help us when we're having a hard time in our lives. And Jesus is just the one to do it. It's almost time to get our alleluias back out on Easter Sunday. You can see back there hidden along the wall, there's our box that has our butterflies in it that we colored at the beginning of Lent. We put our alleluias away and we're going to get them back out again on Easter. I invite you to color a sheet at home with your family and make a selfie picture with a poster that says, "Christ is risen, he is risen indeed." And share that selfie picture with me so that I can share it with folks on Easter Sunday in our special video that we're making. As we make it through this week of Holy Week, from Palm Sunday to Maundy Thursday to Good Friday and to Easter, I hope to be reading some books to you on Facebook and on our website. Families, you can go to Facebook.com/Emmanuel Joplin or EmmanuelJoplin.com. And I'm hoping to read some books about what happens this week during Holy Week. So tune in for those, and I'll be seeing you all week long. Also join us for those worship services on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and on Easter Sunday too. It's almost time to sing our alleluias together. So today, listen carefully to the scripture readings that Pastor's going to share and to his sermon too, and you'll hear this word Hosanna, which means save us. Let's have a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to save us. Be with us, Lord, this week, today in our worship, and help us to get ready for Easter and our alleluias. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our reading today comes from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who through he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We've heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that came from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you've been watching our previous services, it should come as no surprise, since we've done the first and the third article of the Creed, that today it would be the second article. What is the second article?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
In so saying, what do you confess? What does this mean?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord.
And what has Jesus Christ, your God and Lord, done for you?
He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil.
How was such purchase and redemption made?
Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death.
In summary, why has Christ our Lord redeemed you?
That I might be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
Grace is yours, and mercy and peace from God our Father, and our loving Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Title of today's meditation is The Humble King. Jesus enters Jerusalem riding through thousands of pilgrims camped on the Mount of Olives. They've come because God told them they should. God told them to. When God saved the firstborn of every household of captive Israel in ancient Egypt, he told his people to remember this night which was not like any other night, the night when the lamb was slain for the sake of the firstborn. That night, when the whole family of God was kept safe under the sign of the blood of the Lamb. That Passover night would be later in the week when Jesus was passing through the crowd. But the people had already assembled, some of them because they had come a very long, long ways to celebrate this Passover, and some because they were already honoring God's command to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which filled the entire week before Passover. And many of those who were camped there under those olive trees would not have been alive at all if God had not spared their firstborn ancestors 33 generations before. So the people were there in obedience to God's command. But they were also there to celebrate the mighty works and the saving power of God who had chosen them. Their God had brought down empires, Egypt of course, but also Assyria and Babylon. They all fell before him. And with God's help, they had even pushed out the surrogates of the mighty Alexander the Great. Now it was the Roman eagle who gripped their land. But the word was, God was moving. The anointed of God was on his way. He had been staying just over the hill at the house of a man he had raised from the dead. Perhaps that man would even come with him. And Lazarus wasn't even the first that he had raised from the dead. On Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, he had raised a little girl, an adolescent. And he had raised a young man from the dead as well. And he had done it in the full sight of a large crowd of people. Many of the people who were there when he raised Lazarus from the dead were also anticipating his coming that day. Was also spread amongst the people there the very true record of the fact that the weather was also at Jesus' command. And demons were forced to obey him. If he had this power over sickness and over death, over the weather and over the demons, what was left that could stand against him? What chance did any worldly force have to conquer over him? We have to agree sincerely with these pilgrims. No force on earth would be able to stop Jesus on this march. Still, what had John the beheaded Baptist said about him? He called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Passover wasn't a great time to be a lamb in Jerusalem. There could be blood. There could be conflict. This could be very bad. A clash of colossal forces. The kind of day when maybe mom would tell you, honey, maybe you don't want to go out today. But look, here's the good news. He's coming on a donkey. Just like Zechariah said he would, the king comes to us humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He's not being drawn down the road by a chariot. He's not being carried on a divan. He's not astride a war horse like the image of him in Revelation 19 11 to 16, where John records, "And I saw heaven standing open. There before me was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. For as the psalmist said, he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." Now this is a faithful and true vision of our Lord as it was delivered to John and told to be revealed to us, but that's not how we see him on Palm Sunday. Here he comes in humility, bringing peace. Our epistle lesson for the day highlighted this fact, that he's coming in humility, emptying himself of his glory. His glory will be returned to him. The day will come when everyone, believer or non-believer, will have to admit that Jesus is Lord, with all authority in heaven and on earth given to him. He will come to judge. But on this day, he comes on a donkey. The donkey wouldn't be the obvious choice if Jesus were coming for warfare. Riding to war on a donkey, especially a young and untrained donkey, would be like driving across the battlefield in a Prius instead of a Humvee. But there's another message here, one that I'm sure didn't escape the apostles when they stopped after Jesus rose from the dead, when they stopped to consider all things. Has it ever occurred to you that this coming in this way on a donkey is not only the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, but it also is incredibly reminiscent of other people who once made their bed in not only Jerusalem, but Bethlehem? It makes me think of David and Solomon. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 1, a chapter that I don't remember ever studying in grade school or even in high school, certainly never in Sunday school, but in 1 Kings chapter 1, we hear this. "Now David was old, advanced in years, and though they put covers over him, he could not get warm." And they go through another paragraph explaining how they tried to keep him warm and interested and it doesn't escape the attention of his many sons that David is not long for this world. It's one of the major problems David had. He was a man after God's own heart, but he had way too many wives. And one of the problems that he had too was that he never disciplined his children, never even gave them the proper direction. And so what happens is, he's about to die, and the kingdom is going to be seized by whoever steps up first evidently. Even though God himself had told David that there would be a man of peace, a man so peaceful that his very name would be Shalom, that Jedidiah, his son, would come after him and that he would be known as Solomon, the man of peace. And he would be the next king, the one who would establish the kingdom in peace and build the temple of God. But one of David's sons, Adonijah, sees this as his opportunity. He said to himself, "I'll be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And he sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened cattle. And he invited all of his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants, but he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaniah, the mighty men, or Solomon. Nathan went to Bathsheba and said, "Have you heard that Adonijah has become king and David our Lord doesn't even know it?" Nathan and Bathsheba go and remind David that this is not what God had planned and not what David had promised. And so he comes up with a plan. Adonijah has gotten the entire army behind him. He has one of the priests, one of the two high priests on his side, the other one's on David's side. This could be a bloodbath. So David says, "Take Solomon and put him on my donkey. And as he rides through the streets, have the people say, 'Hail to the king. Long live King Solomon.'" And when Adonijah hears the cries of the people, which were told in 1 Kings was so loud it seemed that the earth would split, he runs away. And Solomon becomes the king in peace. He begins and he continues his reign in peace. He has a priest on his side. He has the prophet on his side. But he came in riding as the son of David on the back of a donkey, David's donkey. And I've never actually preached a sermon before that made this connection between the succession of Solomon and the triumphal entry of Jesus. And I mentioned that to somebody who pays a lot of attention to my sermons, and his answer was pretty straightforward. "I don't see why you haven't." So here it is. God's plan was carried out, and God's people, who could have suffered through an enormous war, were spared that. Christ comes in humble, riding on a donkey. And it's obvious that there's not going to be a clash in the streets. There's not going to be violence and blood that will flow in the streets. The people are not going to suffer. But here the priests are against him. Here, even though he's carrying out God's plan and has come for the redemption and the freedom of all of his people, he will bear all the suffering himself. It isn't God's clever plan to make sure that there is no suffering, no bloodshed. Instead, it is God's plan that one would suffer and his blood be shed. As he comes in as the Son of David and is proclaimed as the Son of God, in a voice that comes from the heavens, and in our Easter celebrations, in our every prayer, it is not ever my intent nor my practice to pray in the name of a dead man. Every time I pray and close my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray in the name of my risen Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me with his sacrifice. He did come to bring peace, like the angels sang over Bethlehem when he was born. By his stripes, I am healed. In the midst of the strangest Easter celebration I've ever experienced, probably you feel the same. Facing an invisible enemy, I know that my Christ has been glorified. My Savior, my Lord, is all-powerful. He had all of the power that could have made an incredible bloodbath, made an end of everything. He had legions of angels who could come to his aid. But instead, he pulled it all into himself and took it there to the cross. Therefore, I might be troubled as I think about those who might be suffering from a worldwide pandemic. I might recognize that I and my wife and so many of the people that I love are in high-risk categories. I might recognize that many of the gifts that God has lovingly given me through people I have loved have right now been taken from me, or might be taken from me in the future. But my Lord is triumphant. My sin is forgiven. I am at peace with God because God is at peace with me, because my Lord humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. May this hope, this belief, this confidence that God has all things in hand define this holiest of weeks for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, grant that in the midst of our failures and weaknesses, we may be restored through the passion and intercession of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your own Son, but delivered him up for us all, to bear our sin on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, by your Spirit you have gathered us as your church, and promised that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are, in our midst. Do not allow stress or disaster to distract us from the particular vocations into which you have called us to serve in your church, in our home, and in our community. Grant to us every gift and blessing needful, that we may honor our calling and serve to the best of our ability. You have established the kingdom of the left and hold accountable all those who govern in this and every place. Therefore, we ask that you would guide our president, the members of Congress, the governors of our states, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they would serve nobly and wisely, pursuing the path of justice and protecting the citizens entrusted to them. And most merciful God, your grace is sufficient for all our needs. You have promised to be the strength of the weary, the hope of those who fear, the healing of the ill, the fullness of the disabled, and the peace of all who are distressed. Hear us on behalf of our nation and the world, suffering pandemic and isolation. We pray especially for those who are in need of your prayers, of our prayers. You know their names better than we do, Lord. Be especially with those who are threatened by being in higher risk categories, and keep us and all your people safe. As we pray, I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you will keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.
Holy to atone for me, thou didst.